Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's an issue that will probably touch every one of us in some way, either directly or indirectly, over the next few decades. By 2050, the number of Australians suffering from dementia will be close to 1 million. Right now, an average of 25 people are dying from dementia each day. My next guest on Open House has deep insights into both the size and the reach of this future shock. Professor John Swinton is Professor of Practical Theology and Pastoral Care in the UK. He says, "If I get dementia, I hope that I'll be loved and cared for just who I am, even if who I am is difficult for me and for others." He's written a book about dementia with the intriguing title, Living in the Memories of God. He says maybe we don't lose ourselves to dementia, perhaps we discover something vital about ourselves. It's a great approach to such a very powerful and relevant topic to all of us. Professor John Swinton, welcome to Open House.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks very much for joining us, John. You say dementia, John, is one of the most feared diseases. Why do you think that is?
It's partly a cultural thing that, in, certainly in Western cultures like our own, really, much of who we think we are, we assume to be in our memories. So we've got a real emphasis on the importance of intellect and reason. And as soon as we feel these things are threatened, we feel that something somehow ourselves are disappearing.
Yes.
So I think it's to do with the way that we understand what it means to be a human being within our culture.
It's probably useful early in our conversation from an expert to put a kind of a definition on dementia, exactly what it is and its impacts.
Well, it depends on what your frame of reference is. At one level, it's clearly a neurological condition within which the brain is significantly damaged for a number of different reasons, which causes profound memory loss, cognitive interference, and so on and so forth. Memory loss being one of the most significant things in terms of the way that people perceive themselves. But at another level, and perhaps a more important level, it's a unique and meaningful human experience that unique individuals go through. And within that frame, it's very much a spiritual thing, because it's a place where you're experiencing yourself differently. You're beginning to wrestle with the big spiritual questions of who am I, where do I come from, where am I going to, and why. And at the personal level, which is really the more important level, that's what it is. It's a meaningful human experience.
That's a very significant point to make. From your research, can you give us a couple of snapshots about how significant dementia is today and what it will become in the decades to come?
I mean, it's a huge issue. I mean, more and more people, because we live longer, there's more and more possibilities of our brains breaking down and experiencing the kind of damage that causes dementia. So for the future, it's going to be a significant issue, both in terms of economics, in terms of social welfare, and in terms of the way in which we understand and perceive ourselves and care for one another as a society and as a culture. So it's a big issue.
A lot of your concern came from your background in nursing and ministry and healthcare. That drove a lot of what you've addressed in this book.
It did. I was a nurse and then a hospital chaplain for 16 years or so before I came into academia. And during that time, I spent a lot of time with people with dementia. Some of that was good time, and some of those times were bad times. But I always remember, for example, as a hospital chaplain, going into what used to be then called the dementia wards. And, you know, you'd go in there and there'd be people lined up and watching kids' programs. And they just sit there all day, no stimulation, no anything. And that was how we thought we should be treating people in these days. And looking back, you can see very clearly that the reason we thought that is because we really thought they weren't real people in a sense. They weren't real persons. But I always remember when you go into that situation and you start to say a prayer or you participate in the sacraments or you read a bit of some scripture, and people come back to life in an instant.
Yes,
I say that metaphorically because they weren't dead before, but they begin to reclaim and understand themselves differently. And in that moment and in these moments, something changes. And it's that capturing in these moments that I think is really, really important. And that's really where all of my thinking comes from, because I believe these moments are real. They're not just saying I've reclaimed memory. Something happens in there.
It seems one of the points you're trying to make, and you make well, is that we often forget who someone is and was when they have dementia.
That's right. And the irony, really, of the experience of dementia is Well, the kind of public profile is that dementia is to do with memory loss and losing yourself and losing your personhood. Actually, when you look at the experiences of people with dementia, very often the main problems they have is that others forget about them. Because as soon as you have a diagnosis of dementia, what you see, if you look at the literature and you look through your experiences, people's friends disappear. The social circles disappear. It's like it's almost like dementia is a kind of corrosive fluid that melts away your relational network. And people become lonely, people become isolated. And then in the midst of that, you obviously have this whole assumption that the person's gone, they're not there. But it may well be that the problem is not the person's memory, it's the memory of all of us around them.
Of course, dementia doesn't just affect the sufferer, but also their family and friends. There'll be a range of impacts, as you say, and responses from them. Some of them good, some of them not so good.
That's right. Dementia always belongs to a community. Any illness always belongs to a community. An individual manifests the signs and the symptoms, but actually, in reality, all of us have dementia in the sense that when one person's affected, it affects all of us in a variety of different ways and draws out the best in us and sometimes draws out the worst in us.
You tackle dementia from a different perspective within a clear Christian framework. Why have you thought that was necessary?
Well, because I am deeply concerned about some of the language that's used around dementia and the way in which there are assumptions that the person is somehow dead or not the person they used to or somehow absolutely missing. And it's this idea of the disappearing person that troubles me. Because when you begin to think about what we are as human beings before God, and you know, if you begin to think about what it means to be human before God, we tend to assume somehow we have to do something, we have to be something. But to be a human being before God is to recognize your place as a creature. And as a creature, we are by definition dependent on God for everything. Every breath that we have, we're dependent on God. And when we begin to see that fundamental dependence, it's what marks us out as human beings and human creatures, then you begin to see that the dependence that emerges in the context of dementia is simply a reminder of what we all are, simply a reminder of that we're creatures, that we are people who are dependent on God. People with dementia may be more dependent, or the dependence may be more obvious, but actually it's a manifestation of our humanness.
And that's a reality of who we are, even if we can't remember in a way who we are, you say.
Well, it's quite difficult to work out who you are. You know, if I was to ask you who you are and to tell me in a sentence who you are without mentioning your work,
it's a very good point. It's a very good point.
We all think we know who we are, but actually when you break it down, we don't really know who we are because we're always who we are in relation to something else or in relation to someone else. And there's a very fascinating African Ubuntu philosophy saying that I am because we are. And there's something really powerful about that. Now, in our culture, it's I am because I think, or I think because I am.
Yes.
But what the African philosophers are saying is, I become who I am as I interact with other people. And so that question of who you are is, you know, belongs not only to you, it belongs to your community. And that becomes really intense when it comes to this situation of dementia, because you really do belong to your community. You're dependent on others to tell your story well. When you can't tell it yourself, you're dependent on others to remember for you when you can't remember yourself. But of course, that's the way it is anyway. If I want to know anything about my childhood, I have to ask my mother because I can't remember. So your memory is all over the place. Right? But ultimately, who you are is held in God's memory.
Yes.
As long as God remembers who you are, because God is the only one that really knows who you are in the first place, then you can have hope. Even in the midst of the profound loss of dementia, because you're held in the memories of God.
I want to ask you your advice to a range of people within this arena. First of all, to the person who has only recently received a diagnosis of dementia, they are not that badly affected by it as yet. How would you speak into their lives about where they are now and where they will head?
They should be sad. We should have space for sadness. One of the things that fascinates me is the Psalms of Lament, because in the Psalms of Lament you have this fantastic outpouring of anger and hurt because God has done certain things, or seems not to have done certain things. He hasn't been faithful to his covenant and so on and so forth. So you get this big explosion of emotion. But then in the middle of most of the Lament Psalm, you come back to that place where the psalmist says, but still, I trust in your unfailing love. I trust in your hesed. So I think, you know, people should be given the space to be sad and to lament. But at the same time, it's necessary for people to see that there is hope. There's continuing hope through the process and through the journey of dementia. It needn't be a horrible place to be. But through our understanding of who we are before God, it is a hopeful journey, even if at the end of that process we're completely dependent on others to sustain our hope.
How would you speak to their fears about what will lie ahead, John?
Well, I would speak honestly. Well, I think it's going to be difficult. I think it's a tricky journey. I think we live in a situation where memory is important to us, and we've been taught and enculturated into thinking that. But the key thing is that if you have people around you, and that really is a key thing, people who remember you well and who hold you along that journey, then that journey needn't be a place of extreme pain. Indeed, it can be a place where people learn. People, you know, when you listen to the narratives of people with dementia, people learn things, people explore the world in new ways, and it is possible to be positive along that journey. There's no point in pretending that it's a great place to be, but it's a place where God lives, where God walks with you.
For those who are alongside for this journey, the family, the friends,
yes.
How can we care? What can we do to those suffering dementia?
Friendship, I think. For you know, if you look at the friendships that Jesus shows, you know, I'm always fascinated. Jesus becomes the friend of the outsider, of the tax collector, the sinner, those whom society, and indeed those whom religious authorities of the time rejected, which is a quite different model of friendship from the one that we have within Western cultures, whereby we tend to become friends with people we like, people we know, people we've got certain things in common with. In fact, if you look at your friendships, oftentimes you see yourself because you know all your interests are there. But Jesus says something different. He says, no matter what, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, I will stay with you and I will walk with you and I'll take the consequences of that and all of its difficulty. And dementia is a highly stigmatized and highly feared condition within which people are pushed to the margins for a number of different reasons and where relationships are stretched. So friendship and faithfulness is the place to begin. I mean, there's lots of things that we can do beyond that, but these are the core things, I think. Friendship and faithfulness, not just faith in God, which is obviously a given, but also having faith in the individual, which means not working according to stereotypes and assumptions that people tell you, even medical people tell you, but giving people the benefit of the doubt, looking for surprises and walking along that road in friendship in a way that opens up new possibilities. And at the same time, being prepared to weep along that road,
yes.
Because it is a difficult road.
Yes, it will require great patience for those who care.
Yeah.
It'll require time and certainly a deep, compassionate heart.
It will do, and you can't do that on your own.
Yes.
And so one of the things that troubles me a little bit is the religious communities, which in principle should be fantastic places for developing friendships, community, and sustaining patience in that context, don't always think through the issues. And actually, there are some very odd theologies that go on around explaining what dementia is. And you can't care on your own in that context. You need people around you. You need a community that understands. And one of the things that is part of my vocation, I think, really, is to help religious communities to understand dementia in a different way and to offer up the possibility of becoming that kind of community that can sustain people and those who are walking alongside people with dementia, even in the midst of the darkest storm.
It'll be quite simply, at its foundational level, a community exercising the love of Jesus.
I couldn't say anything more than that. That's bang on the nail.
John, how will a person suffering from dementia continue to realise who they are, especially in the advanced stages of the disease, and perhaps even continue their relationship with God? How will that work?
They may not be able to name themselves, but they'll know who they are. But that, I mean, I may forget my name, but I still exist in my body. I still can feel pain and I can feel joy. I can experience love and I can experience emotions. And through these things, I can recognize that I am me, even when I'm not able to name me. And so the key thing is not to assume that because somebody's forgotten the name that somehow they disappear, because in a real sense, they're still there. And when it comes to, for example, communicating love and feelings, you do that. I mean, you don't communicate love through words. use community theatre through experiences, through being with people, through touch, through a variety of different ways. And so it's quite possible to sustain the person if we move a little bit away from our fascination with words and begin to see what it means to be person to person, soul to soul.
And if the figures are right, which point to a future where this is going to be such a growing and deepening problem, religious communities will really have to get this.
Yeah, and they do have to get it, but they have to get it as something that's more than just pastoral care. They have to get it as something that's central to the heart of the gospel, to care for those who are weak, to care for one another, those who are marginalised, is something that's fundamental to Jesus' ministry, so therefore it has to be fundamental to us. So it's not just a kind of added extra. We need to see that as we practice in these ways, so we become faithful disciples. Not that we just, well, it's just nice to offer care. It's something fundamental to discipleship, I think, is important.
Professor John Swinton, I think this has been a conversation for many people, deeply significant tonight, and as they recall it in the years to come, they'll think, that was a very important conversation. Thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
You're very welcome.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.